Welcome to our Saturday simulcast, and it is a Memorial Day weekend. We're going to take a little bit of a look in the year in review with Tom Dienhart and Brian Newbert, and then also have a little bit of basketball news on the front end that we'll talk about as well. I want to thank the Union Club Hotel at Purdue. It's a Travel and Leisure World's Best Hotel in Indiana nominee. You can vote for it. Voting is now open, so visit PurdueUnionClubHotel.com for more details and to show your Purdue pride. And also a reminder too, if you're interested in becoming a member of goldenblack.com, please, we have free trials available and we would love to have you join us as part of our, I guess we call it our family.
Family.
Certainly our family. That's always an operative word. Yeah, there you go. So real Brian, let's talk about a little bit of a graduate assistant news, but your basketball assistant that got announced today before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's conversation. But what's new and different there?
Well, nothing's new. We had reported already that Tommy Luce and Spike Albrecht were going to be the graduate assistant coaches, and PJ Thompson was going to stay on under a director of player development title. They really wanted to keep PJ Thompson around. I think he's a really valuable presence with the players. I think he's good from a workouts perspective. His dad has been a longtime trainer. Not that that necessarily has much to do with PJ Thompson's qualifications for this job at this point. He's obviously been around the program quite a bit, but I think he does a really good job with the players, and I think the players like him. I think he's an important guy to have around from a development perspective, a personality perspective, and a recruiting perspective. I think he's a very valuable person to have around recruits too, because he's kind of a magnetic guy, really good personality. And I think this is kind of a springboard for him potentially to, bigger and better things on Purdue staff one day, potentially. There's kind of a bunch of former Purdue players out there who can be contenders one day to be on Matt Painter's bench at some point. And I think this puts him, right up there at the top of that leaderboard, so to speak. But, I think it's important to, for Matt Painter to keep guys around who know the program. And I think that applies to all three of these guys. The graduate assistant coaches, I don't know how much they affect winning and losing. But you want to have valuable guys there who want to get into this and want to grow as coaches and all of that stuff. So, Spike Albrecht and Tommy Luce are going to have quite a few responsibilities now, and we'll kind of see what they're able to bring to the table. PJ Thompson and Grady Eifert always struck me as really good, graduate assistants. And obviously they wanted to keep PJ Thompson around. Grady Eifert used this to his first real college basketball staff job. He became Micah Shrewsbury's video coordinator at Penn State. So the 2 years those guys spent on Purdue staff, they parlayed into, pretty good first opportunities in college basketball.
PJ Thompson, a very, very impressive guy. And like I said, everybody you mentioned there will make a contribution, and obviously want opportunities in coaching. All right, we're going to also use this a little bit today as our year in review. And yet the Purdue sports calendar not completely over yet. I think track and field's got some still in the national championships this weekend and next. I guess it would be 2 weekends from now. Baseball finishing up this weekend, Memorial Day weekend as well, weather permitting, I should say, but they will finish up. Tom, I'll start with you. Our top stories of the year, and I'm going to kind of frame that. Obviously, COVID's been the story of the year and whatever iteration of that you choose. But you look back at the year and maybe just your reflections on the things that you covered and said, boy, this is something that I will sustain or will stay with me from a long-term standpoint. What would that be?
Just, I think the Plains Big Ten athletics amid a pandemic, Alan, honestly, this is stuff that they'll be reading about generations from now and talking about. And to actually see it executed and pulled off, to me, what was the biggest story. This time last year, I think we all had our doubts, what the future looked like, at least the near future for athletics across the board, collegiate, professional, whatever. And so many unknowns swirled. Would we have a season? What would it look like? What were the health concerns? On and on it went. Everything tumbled out of our heads, thought after thought. One thought led to another thought, and they were all usually dismal thoughts. Never envisioned, guys, I guess, getting a vaccine this quickly. I thought maybe if when you read stuff, this could be like a 1.5-2 year process. Thank goodness that hasn't been the case. The return to normalcy has been a lot quicker than I anticipated. At least we're headed that way to normalcy. And just a surreal atmosphere at these games, guys. Yeah. Alan, you were there in the press box with
me. Yeah, strange.
And, just strange. Never in a million years would I have envisioned I'd be part of something like this. Sitting in a cavernous, empty arena like a spring football game almost, right? Smattering of fans, you know, staff, spouses, wives, players, family, etc. Not a lot of fun, I'll be honest with you. And you never realize what the fans mean to sporting events. And boy, they mean everything, even on television. And to me, guys, that was a story. Seeing this played out amid a pandemic to I guess, a pretty good level of success, honestly. And it, again, it's something that was historic and I hope we never have to go through again, obviously.
Yeah, good points, and all absolutely true. That was certainly that experience for me sitting in the press box. It was just weird. It just was strange. And yet knowing, I think I remember the winning drive against Iowa, the first game, and the fact that there was a lot on the line there, and you think, well, if that game would have been played in front of fans, what that would have been like. And yet the players reacted to it. It was a huge situation. Purdue came through in the clutch, won that game. There was a lot of drama there, but it was just weird. And yet it didn't necessarily sitting in the press box, because it's quiet in there anyway. And you guys know that's like a library in there anyway, in the press section, but you still have to remind yourself, there's nobody out there watching. This is, and yet there's a lot on the line. So that was it. That was certainly it. Brian,
just week to week, and you didn't know who's going to be an eligible player or not. Oh, yeah. Karloftis is out. Jeff Brohm gets COVID. I mean, you're like you're walking on tiptoes every week, not knowing if this is all going to collapse or not, and who's going to show up.
Yeah. Brian, we gave you an extra 2 minutes to think about this. So what else can you add to the fray, or what struck you in the last year? It's a hard question to answer in a year that is momentous and difficult as this past year.
Yeah, you're assuming that I think of my answers before I speak.
I know.
Joke's on you, buddy. Joke. The thing that stands out to me about this whole year is just what the athletes had to go through to make this all happen. You know, obviously a lot of people had a stake in making the season, you know, work, if you want to say that it worked, considering all the cancellations and whatnot. But this was not what any of these men and women signed up for. I mean, this was a conveyor belt existence. You know, they couldn't sit next to one another while they ate. You know, the traditional camaraderie of young people being teammates was significantly altered this year. It was daily testing, daily poking and prodding. God knows how many swabs went up, how many nostrils, not pleasant, by the way. Just a really, really, what had to be a miserable existence. And, you know, I just think the athletes themselves are owed a debt of gratitude here for making this work. You know, a lot of people, again, bent over backwards to make this work, but
right,
the athletes were the ones who had to go out there and actually perform under these circumstances. And the fact that they loom so large in making this happen, I think, is what kind of stands out to me, because this couldn't have been any fun. And sports are supposed to be fun. These are supposed to be some of the best years of these young athletes' lives, and this had to be miserable. And, you know, I just think that's what will stand out to me more than anything, but also from, you know, I guess, anecdotal perspectives, you know, Purdue basketball beats Indiana, Michigan State, and Ohio State in Mackey Arena. And, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, or would anybody know if it wasn't on national television? You know, that was absolutely surreal, that these games where Mackey Arena would have essentially been shot to the moon in certain moments was just this quiet. And, you know, from my perspective, pulling right up to the side of the arena, walking in, not having to fight lines to go to the men's room at halftime. I got used to that. I'm not going to lie. And
yeah,
be a little cranky at times next year when, you know, some of those little conveniences aren't there anymore. I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah,
I want the fans back as much as anybody because they're the lifeblood of college sports, as I think we learned, a big part of the lifeblood of college sports, as we learned this year, because something was missing, for sure. The energy, you know, college sports are about energy. They're about youthful enthusiasm. They're about passion from the people in the stands. And this whole thing existing in the absence of those things was just surreal, just absolutely unlike anything I could have imagined. And I think I will remember those moments more than anything. Indiana, Michigan State, you know, games like that, and just a totally bizarre year that I hope we never, obviously, as Tom just said, I hope we never have to go through this ever again.
Yeah, well said. I think for me, it will be three people. Things happen in threes, to some extent. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but they say that. Three passing of three people that are monumental figures in the history of Purdue athletics, if you really look at it. And that would be Morgan Burke, Larry Clisby, and Leroy Keyes, all passing in a relative, even though it was, you know, that was talked about and there was a discussion and all that, still in the COVID world, he didn't get to say goodbye. There was obviously Morgan Burke way too early at age 68, and Leroy Keyes too early, and Larry Clisby, they're all, you know, too young, and yet they were all icons of Purdue sports. And you kind of, even though in the midst of COVID, somehow didn't do it justice in that difficulty, and you hope these are three people. I mean, Leroy Keyes, and I'm not one to talk about guys that should have statues, but I'll talk about that. He's a guy that should be celebrated from now to the end of time, and Morgan Burke's contributions are well documented, and Larry Clisby's as well. But to have that experience in COVID and to kind of all of a sudden they're gone was a difficult thing, and kind of added to a difficult year, the three people that really made a difference in every walk of Purdue sports, really touched a lot of people. And that part, I think, is something that you kind of, you forget that this was all in the middle of a pandemic and there weren't celebrations of life that were easy to do. Leroy Keyes had a little bit of one toward the end. They hadn't had some people there, and that was a good thing and an excellent ceremony. But it is a situation there that will always be with me from that standpoint. All right, we go back now to athletes of the year, and we have to preface this a little bit. We obviously cover football and men's basketball. That's kind of what we do. I'll start by saying my status, and I, you know, I always love to give Dave Shondell's program props, but Grace Cleveland, first team All-American on the volleyball, and of course they go to the Elite Eight. She would be on anybody's list of being that, of being an athlete of the year candidate, and she's was phenomenal for that team that came with an eyelash of getting to the Final Four. But I'll start with you, Tom. You know, and we can compare between the two. But who would you select in terms of your athlete of the year for 2020-2021?
Yeah, you know, on the vein of volleyball, Alan, I think the Jenna Otek, it's a player of the year, is coming back for next year too. So
big deal for them, certainly.
John Dell's cap too. Boy, I guess when you're looking at athlete of the year, if you're looking at just men's basketball. In football, my goodness, I guess you have to lean toward basketball, and I guess Travion Williams. He got off to a slow start early on in the season, I know, but really came on and put that team on his back a few times. And it was a real nexus, a real hub of offense for that team. Pretty much throughout the entire year, as some of the younger players developed and evolved, the Jaden Ivies and the Zach Edies of the world, in particular, Mason Gillis. But again, I think for me, my focus would go toward Travion. And boy, we all saw that video of him recently. His body looks like it's in great shape. And I'll be honest, he's a guy, when he came to Purdue, I kind of wondered if he was going to be able to stay in shape and stay hungry and motivated. And he certainly had a fire lit under him and had a career that's been excellent up to this point. And it hasn't been punctuated yet either, as far as an end goes. So who knows how this is going to finish. It's been terrific so far. And I think, to me, he'd be a guy that would get my vote.
Brian, what say you on this topic?
Yeah, I mean, by sheer virtue of the fact that Purdue had a great season in basketball, all things considered, and he was an All-American and first-team All-Big Ten player in a great league, it's hard to pick anybody other than Travion Williams. I think he had a really good year. I still think he has more to give. Mm-hmm. But he had a really good year, and I think he made more big plays in a season than any player that comes to mind right now. He made more big shots. You know, he came through damn near every time Purdue needed him. You know, Purdue didn't win all those games, but when they needed something to happen, they went to him in the final minute of a game, and he made it happen. But I also think, to a certain extent, that was a team this year where it's hard to single out one guy. As good as Travion Williams was, I think that whole team, you know, I know we can't pick a whole team as athlete of the year. That's lame. But I think, you know, the Jaden Ivey, Zach Edey stories, you know, Brandon Newman, Mason Gillis, all of those freshmen who mattered so much for them this year. Travion Williams was kind of the centerpiece of that. But I think, you know, so many guys had a hand in Purdue being so much better than people thought they'd be at this point. I think you go with Travion Williams to answer this question, but you do it with the asterisk of it's Travion Williams, but everybody else should be mentioned here too, because that team was just way more mature right out of the gate than I think anybody could have reasonably expected. Now, obviously the Miami thing happened, that doesn't speak to maturity, but it does speak to part of the process. And I think the fact that team did what it did under the circumstances of this season, where last offseason was a complete chemical spill from a normalcy perspective, I think adds another layer of impressiveness onto the whole thing. So if you ask me who my athlete of the year is, I guess I have to go Travion Williams, but I also want to mention just the entire fray around him too.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think 1B would be David Bell for me. I still marvel at it, and I think there's upside to, we'll see, but as good as he is,
Derek Barnes had a really good year too.
And Derek Barnes absolutely did. He celebrates a birthday this weekend, and a guy that really, really played well. But those guys, and from the football side, hard to pass up in terms of the kind of years. We didn't see enough of George Karloftis, obviously, with basically a game and a half. Those will be things we'll be watching for the 2021 season. All right, crystal ball time, I guess, that term, or what, you know, what, give me a, Tom, I'll start with you, a prediction or something that you'll look for in 2021-22 that you think might happen that maybe not everybody else thinks will happen.
Well, I mean, I think Purdue's going to be able to get to a bowl game this year football-wise. Having studied it all closely, looking at the schedule, given some of the intangibles around the team, the sense of urgency, the overall defensive coaching staff, I think this is a program that can get back on the bowl track for the first time since, the 2018 season. There may be some skeptics out there. There always are.
There are, yeah.
But, again, I really like this, the defensive staff. And I know sports are usually about the players more than the coaches. But I think there's some promising talent that's been injected on the defensive side of the ball via the portal in particular, to give that unit some promise, not necessarily to be a steel curtain or to be one of the five best statistical defenses in the Big Ten, but to at least be an opportunistic defense that can generate its share of big plays, make its share of key stops in particular. And again, if that happens, I think that the weapons are present on offense for this team to have some success. And by success, I'm talking about 6 or 7 win season here. For that to happen, we've all talked about this before. I think we all agree they need to get a good quick start here out of the gate, a 4-1 start, a 3-2 start, which I think is possible. Purdue's off week comes after five games. it sure would be nice if you were a coach to be able to take a breath, exhale, gather yourself for the last seven games, knowing you're 4-1 or 3-2, because the back half of the schedule offers its fair share of challenges, including a trip to Ohio State. You got Wisconsin on there, always tough. Iowa, Indiana, of course, in the finale. But there's still some opportunity for success, I think. So, again, I think for me, it's a prediction of a return to the postseason for the Purdue football team.
Okay. Brian, you're up.
I think Purdue's going to win the Big Ten in basketball next year. Personally, that's who I'd pick right now. I think continuity really matters in college basketball. I think Michigan's going to be really young. I think Purdue's better than Ohio State. And I just think that this team's biggest advantage right now, the best thing it has going for it, among a lot of good things it has going for it, is simple normalcy. I mean, they onboarded all of these freshmen last year into their playing rotation, sink or swim type stuff, and they did it in as abnormal an offseason as you can ever have. And I just think that, you know, I think they're a more talented roster this year with the influx of some of the newcomers coming in. But I also think experience is going to matter. I think you're going to see, you know, I think the Jaden Ivey you saw down the stretch, the last seven or eight games of the season last year, I think that's his normal this season. And I think, you know, a team with a returning All-American, that All-American might not be Purdue's leading contender for Big Ten Player of the Year, to be honest with you. I think Brandon Newman will take a jump as a sophomore. I think Mason Gillis will take a jump as a sophomore. I think Ethan Morton last year wasn't even his baseline. I think you will see a very different player in Ethan Morton. And I think all of those guys will be significantly better. I think Travion Williams, provided he returns, I assume he will have a better, even better season this year. I think Zach Edey will be the most improved player on the team. I think those two freshman forwards coming in are instant impact type of guys who might not necessarily be needed to be instant impact guys right away. I think Eric Hunter's shooting will normalize a little bit. And I just think, you know, Sasha Stefanovic won't get COVID in the middle of the year next year. And
hopefully not.
I think it might be scientifically impossible by that point. Yeah. But I think he'll be a season-long 40%+ guy from three-point range. And I just think all the pieces are in place here, you know, for Purdue to have a really good year. And I think they're going to win the Big Ten.
All right, I'm the least of the hot take, cold take people, but I've been thinking about this one a little bit, that attendance in Ross-Ade Stadium will be more in 2021 than it was in 2019, that the average attendance will be more. And that may not be that bold of a statement, but I was not sure of that, and I'm still not sure of it. But what we're seeing on the sports level, not only the PGA golf tournament last week, the NBA playoffs, the way people are, you know, the 500 that will be tomorrow, even though I know they're only going to be at 40% capacity, I may have underestimated the demand. And I think it may really help Purdue football. This may be the shot in the arm, so to speak, if that's a bad analogy, but
analogy.
Yeah, maybe a perfect in some ways, but it will be what the program might need, is a chance to reset itself. And fans will get behind them, partly because of the novelty. They may not be focused on the fact that the program has struggled to its standards the last couple of years. And that will be my bold, probably wrong, but prediction. I can't, of all of my sphere of folks that I speak with, I don't find anybody, maybe it's preaching to the choir, but anybody that's not excited about being in Ross-Ade Stadium. So that's an interesting thing to watch. And of course, we know now some of the home games at the Oregon State game will be a night game, 7 p.m. game on Labor Day weekend. I think Ross-Ade Stadium, barring any unforeseen, let's all hope it stays that way. We'll know. I think another important thing, that all this activity in sports right now really will provide a good testing ground. We'll have a good feel for, you know, are there outbreaks, are those kinds of things. And it may make the Big Ten, as we know, very cautious last year. The Big Ten maybe feels a little bit more on solid ground. And of course, we also know that it's going to be up to the individual schools in terms of the rules that they have for stadium capacity. So we'll see what happens, but that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And we'll be watching that throughout the rest of the summer and as we lead into that first football game. So, all right, that is our Saturday simulcast for this week. We wish you all a good Memorial and safe Memorial Day weekend. We'll look forward to be back next week. June will be a busy, busy month for Brian, especially with all the recruiting going on. We'll look the opening of that transfer portal will be with Tom will be probably a story will be a story throughout the month of June as well, but we'll look forward to that. So I want to thank the Purdue Union Club Hotel for its sponsorship of our Saturday simulcast. And again, we thank you all for listening and watching, and we hope that you have a great weekend, and we look forward to talking to you next week where we'll have another episode. I know you are all on pins and needles to that happen. So have a great weekend, everybody.